You're tuning in to another episode of Wildlife Wonders Podcast. Sit back and relax, because today we're going to learn animal facts. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Wildlife Wonders Podcast. Woo! I'm your host, the one, the only, Sariana, back at it again with another week, another animal, and we're still on primates, you guys. Thank you once again for everyone that is constantly supporting, constantly liking pictures, sharing about the podcast, telling other people about the podcast. Giving feedback is key so I can make this better. All of you out there that are listening to this, I appreciate you. I want to thank you. And if you want to stay up to date and you want to continue to follow and see what's going on, go to Instagram at Wildlife Wonders with an S. Podcast, all one word, on Instagram. You can see all the latest updates. I post pictures and videos of the animals I talk about and fast facts. I try to post them daily. We're getting there. But fast, random animal facts are on there and all kind of other jazz. Wonderful place to go for resources. I also have a YouTube page, Wildlife Wonders Podcast. You can find me on there. There is only one video, but other videos are sure to come. But without further ado, we'll get right into it. Again, keep listening, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast, that's where you can find my podcast. Thanks. So this week, we're going to continue with the primates, and we're going to talk about a very, very, very special primate that not everybody knows about. It is the world's largest nocturnal primate out there. Do you know what I'm talking about yet? No? It's fine. We're going to talk about the eye. Yes, the name is literally eye. It's A-Y-E-A-Y-E. That is the name of this primate. They are technically considered lemurs. Yeah, they're in the lemur family. Not technically. They are considered lemurs. They're in the lemur family, and they are found in Madagascar. Fun fact, just to start it out, facts right out the door. All lemurs are found in Madagascar. The idea is that maybe lemurs didn't have a big threat in Madagascar. And so what happened is they started populating Madagascar drastically and started going into different species from breeding and everything. So that is the idea. But all lemurs are found in Madagascar, and this one's not an exception. It is found in the rainforest of Madagascar. Now, they are arboreal animals, which means they stay in the trees. So you will typically only see them in the top of the trees. They do make nests as well. So they'll usually be at the top of the trees in their nest. If you remember correctly, I briefly mentioned orangutans also make nests. Gibbons can sometimes make nests. So they're not the only primate to do this. But yeah, they're found in Madagascar in the rainforest. Now you can also find them sometimes in like coconut groves and other animals, but most commonly the rain, not other animals, other environments, but most commonly the rainforest. Now, to keep me on track, I have my little paper here. Moving on to their diet, they are omnivores, which means they eat a plethora of, they have a varied diet. This includes seeds, larvae, insects, and fruit. Yes, they like their fruit. So, what's so cool about these guys, though, is that they use something called percussive foraging. I'm going to explain what it is. So my little friend, the eye here, has a long middle finger. He has a very elongated middle finger and very sensitive big ears. So what happens is he goes along the tree branches or the logs or wherever he's trying to find his bugs, and he taps on it and he sees, or not sees, he listens real closely to see if he hears anything moving, anything hustling, bustling around, or trying to run away as he's tapping. They have very, very, very sensitive, sensitive ears, but amazing hearing. So once they hear something moving inside, they use their very sharp teeth, their front teeth, their incisors, and they bite a hole into this log or whatever the tree they're trying to get into. So they bite a hole. Once the hole is made, they take that extremely long finger, they push their finger in there, scoop around, swirl, 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 and pull it out. Yes. So kind of the same concept as a woodpecker when they peck, 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 get the hole and get the food out, or the sap out. It's the same concept. with the eye. So they're using their finger and they're scooping it out. They also use their finger to scoop out the flesh of coconuts, to scoop out the seeds and flesh of other fruit that they need or they desire. So it's pretty useful tool. That's their main way they hunt. They do hunt at night. They forage at night. And this process of hunting or foraging can take a very long time sometimes, because you got to think, it's not like they're just going like a frog, go to one area, wait for the fly to fly by, and then just snapping their tongue out. It's a process. First, they start by tapping. Then they got to listen. Then they got to bite a hole into it. Then they got to put their finger in it. Then they got to eat. And then the process goes on throughout the night. So, but that is a really cool thing. It's not very common among animals, but especially not primates, to use they don't have elongated fingers, but to use this like kind of like an echolocation to find their food sources. So that's what's very unique about them specifically. Now, as far as the size and characteristics, they're typically black or brown. They're typically black or brown with having sometimes little white hairs in their fur. They kind of remind me of a possum. I definitely have to say they remind me of a possum. They have these huge eyes that are typically yellow and a small mouth, but extremely long, skinny fingers. They're a very weird looking animal, in all honesty. Long, slender fingers. They have an elongated, extremely long middle finger. So that's what they use to scoop out their food. And if it doesn't get any weirder, they have opposable thumbs. So just like humans, they can use their thumbs to grab onto the branches. They can use their thumbs to pick up what they need, but they have opposable thumbs just like humans. Another thing about them, they're around 4 pounds and they're around 14 to 17 inches long from their head to the end of their body, but that doesn't include their tail. Their tail is an additional 22 to 24 inches long on top of their body length. So they're kind of long animals for nocturnal primates. That's why they're the longest or the largest nocturnal primates. They do have pointed claws on all of their fingers, except for their toes. And like I said before, they do have large, since their ears are large and sensitive, and then they have bushy tails. So they're a very odd looking species. If you have not already seen, you can go onto the Instagram page. And I did post a picture ahead of time. Woo! Of the animal, of the eye. So you can definitely go and see that, or you can look it up on Google and look at some other cool pictures of different point of views of the eye, or even as babies. That's a pretty cool thing to look at. So it is there for you to see if you want to see. But you can imagine it just from the descriptions I'm telling you. Now, their behavior. They are nocturnal, you guys. That means they are awake and active at night. During the day, they are sleeping in their nest and getting their rest so they can go out and run the streets at night. So they are hunting at night. They're moving at night. I'm not sure, now that I think about it, if the mating part, I'm assuming the mating part happens at night as well. But I didn't really think about that when I was doing my research and collecting my thoughts. But regardless, they also have, they're solitary animals most of the time. When they are mating, of course, they can't be solitary then. When they are mating and parenting, they sometimes get together in groups. Also, a lot of male territories, even though they're solitary animals, overlap each other. So you will see multiple nests in one area sometimes because there's a bunch of males around. And sometimes they even sleep in each other's nests. If the nest is empty and they're like, hey, free bed, free hotel stay, I'm going to stay here tonight. I'm not sure if that starts fights. I'm pretty sure some people be mad that they took all the time to build their nest or their home and someone comes and ransacks it. But it has been seen or witnessed that they sometimes go in other nests. But overall, they're mostly solitary animals. Now, I did touch briefly before on the mating patterns. And I'm going to say, I think it's kind of unique. Unique and neat of how they do their mating patterns. A lot of lemurs have a specific time of year that they mate. For eyes, they can mate any time of the year. It is when the female is ready to mate. So a female can be ready to mate at any time. They usually have 2 to 3 years between the time they have a baby until they're ready to mate again. But around 2.5, 3 years old, females are ready to mate. When the females are ready, they make a call I don't know the call, but they make a call and all the males come gather around and say, ooh, this female ready. Ooh, this female ready. And then the next guy shows up. He's like, wait, what you doing here? What you doing here? And they start fighting over the female to see who's going to mate with her. So it's kind of like she walks into a bar. She looks around. She's the finest thing in the room. And then all the males flock to her and they're all trying to fight for her attention. That's the same kind of concept. They're all going to fight and show aggression, aggressive behavior to see, this is my woman. This is who I'm mating with. This will be the mother of my kids. Whoever wins that battle, the male then gets with the female. And it's said that it can be anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours of them hanging upside down and mating. So a long process, enjoyable process, I suppose, but a long process compared to some animals, which is in and out, but they take their time. And once they mate, the female can carry their young. They have a gestation period, which means they carry their young for about 170 days, roughly around 5-ish months. So they carry the young. They have their young after about 170 days. And once they have their young, they typically only have one. One little lemur comes out of all that work. So they have one lemur. That one lemur stays with them for about, I want to say they wean around 7 months. I think they stay with their parents around 2 to 3 years. Why am I acting like I didn't write these notes? They stay with their mother until around 2 years old, but they do wean, or they wean off around 7 months. So they have the child, one child, 2 to 3 years, and then they can have another one. It's not really common that you'll see more than one lemur or more than one II born to a parent group at a time. During that time, for what I can find, it was very, very selective. I am assuming that the male stays with the female the entire time until they're weaned off. It did not say whether after that point, if he mates with multiple females at once or mates with one female. A lot of that information was not provided at this time in multiple sources. They were kind of like hinting at things here and there, but it wasn't 100% sure. So that's why I present to you. But that is the mating pattern of the II's. Very cool. I find it interesting. Now, after the mating, we'll worry about, well, they're living their good old dandy life in the high tops of the rainforest. So what is coming to get them? And as we all know, we have to take responsibility. And humans are a threat to II, just like many of the other animals we talked about. But another threat is the birds of prey, so big birds. And you got to think it's easier for big birds to get to them because they're in the trees all the time versus animals that would be on the ground. And then the other animal that is not so common, okay, so I thought so, is the fossa. And fossa is more cat-like. It looks kind of doggish to me, but they're more cat-like. They're a cat found in Madagascar that usually eats a lot of lemurs. It is brown with big eyes. And I'm assuming because they're nocturnal, the fossa must also be nocturnal. I learned about a fossa a while ago, but I can't remember off the top of my head. So that is their three main predators. You have your fossa, you have your birds of prey. And I'm assuming also fossa probably climb trees. So your fossa, your birds of prey, and then you have humans. Like every animal, humans have an effect in all these animals' lives. So along with humans, what is their conservation status? Because if there's lemurs everywhere in Madagascar and you have these predators, how long do they live? Well, they live around 20 years in the wild. And as far as I can find, their conservation status as of now is endangered. That means that they could possibly go extinct in the future. This is due to habitat deforestation, like most animals we learn about, because if we remember from the gibbons, if with arboreal animals, when you tear down a piece of the forest, they're no longer able to get from one side of the forest to the other because there's a gap in their homes. So if they don't really come to the ground and there's two forests here and they're all connected and you take the chunk in the middle, they're now secluded to this one area. And they can't get to the other side. So they cannot get to the food over there. They can't get to the resources over there. They can't mate over there unless they come to the ground, which is not too common. So that is the problem with habitat deforestation. The other issue that they face is that they are seen as superstitious animals. And so They're often killed by humans when they're seen. There is a law that protects eyes now that prevents hunting, with whether everybody listened to it. And, you know, you still have a lot of poachers and just natives that just going to do what they want, because I guess it depends on how hard they're enforcing this law. But there is a law protecting them now from being killed. And that brings us to the fun facts. The best part of the episode, you guys. It's all great, but we love the fun facts. So fun facts, number one, I've already mentioned that it, the natives see the eye as an omen for bad luck. So that's the reason why some people kill them. A lot of people thought they are strange and creepy, which brings me to my second fact. Many people think they are weird and the creepiest animal in the world. They do look kind of freaky. I can't deny. Freaky in a cool way, though, to me. But because of that reason, a lot of people are terrified of them. They used to be thinking like you'll get bad luck, or even speaking their name was like a superstition. So they are involved in a lot of superstitions with the natives of Madagascar. Fun fact number three. Their incisors, their teeth in the front, are forever growing like rodents. So mice, rats, their teeth typically continue to grow. They chew on stuff to gnaw it down. Same thing with think guinea pigs as well, hamsters. They are constantly gnawing and chewing on stuff to keep it blunt and not overgrowing. But the same thing with eyes, their incisors are forever growing. Their teeth continue to grow. And fact number four, their name, eye, comes from the Malagasy or Malagasy language, and it means one doesn't know. The thought about that is that it also goes along with the superstitions that it's kind of creepy and one doesn't know about them. They don't want to say their name. I think another pronunciation for natives is like, hey, either something like that. And then the last one, these animals were thought to be extinct until 1957. I'm not sure if because the numbers were so low or they just had a hard time finding them. But for the longest time, researchers and scientists thought they were extinct, but they really weren't. They were around here the whole time. They just weren't being seen. But either way, that brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something about the eyes and about a new primate. Give me feedback. Message me on Instagram. Email. Gotta see if my email's on there. Reach out and let me know what you thought about the episode. Leave feedback on any of the places you find the podcast, because I believe you can. And let me know what you want to hear from next, what you're excited about, your favorite fact from this episode, or just say, you doing a good job. You doing a good job. Anyway, anything you want to say or leave, feel free. I'm Sariana. Find me anywhere you find your major podcasts, such as Spotify, Google, and Apple Music, and iHeartRadio, and all those good things. But until next time, bye.